Right. Well, Thursday's Christmas, isn't it?
Amen.
I think it's Thursday. Thursday's Christmas. I tell you what, I'm walking to church today, and Katie and the kids have wanted me to put Christmas lights up, and I just haven't gotten around to it. And see, now my justification is it's just too late to put Christmas lights up. I mean, Christmas is on Thursday. Well, I'm walking down the street, and right across the street, she's putting up Christmas lights. And I'm like, you just ruined my excuse.
Amen.
Please don't let Katie see you doing that.
Amen.
Right now. Lights are fun, aren't they, to see on houses and things like that.
Amen.
I give you a little glimpse into my household around 7:30 when we put our kids to bed. I'll put Jude and Luke in the bed, and I'll close the door. And something will go like this. Jude's okay with it now, but Luke will say something like, Daddy, will you leave the door cracked? Leave the door open. I'm like, no, we don't leave the door open in your room. We close the door. So he's like, okay, and he's learned to be okay with it. Camille, on the other hand, she's in a room by herself. And so I'll tuck her in, and as I'm walking out, she'll say, will you turn the bathroom light on? I'm like,
amen.
I'll turn the bathroom light on for you. She goes, okay. About 5 minutes later, I can always guarantee you, Daddy, you forgot to turn my nightlight on. She wants a nightlight on. I'm like, I didn't forget to turn it on. It's on. You got a light. And then Emma goes to bed later, and usually by the time Emma goes to bed, the other kids are asleep. And Emma's like, Dad, could you just leave the bathroom light on for a little bit? I'm like, okay. And by the time I go to bed, I'll go and I'll turn the bathroom light off. I'll crawl in bed. I'll close the door, crawl in bed, and I can look under my door, and I can see down the hallway, right? And it's dark, just like I like it. And then I'll hear some footsteps in the hallway, and then flick, light comes right back on. I'm like,
Amen.
Man, why does the light keep coming back on? And here's the reason. None of us are okay with the darkness, are we?
Amen.
All of us have had that experience.
Amen.
Everybody is a little bit scared of the dark. You'll hear a noise. Some of us think we're macho, you know, but, you know, you'll hear something and, you know, one light will go up and you're like, okay, what's the first thing you do when you walk into the hallway? You turn on a light.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
The light makes us feel stronger than we are. It comforts us. We can see around us. We know our surroundings when we have the light. It makes us feel better, doesn't it, to have light? You can focus. It has something about light that makes people feel better. It makes them feel not alone. It makes them feel as if things are going to be okay if we can see. And so we light these candles. They represent light. The middle candle represents Christ, his presence with us. And we're lighting it today because we're not going to be here on Christmas Eve. We're not going to be on Christmas Day where we can light the middle candle. So that middle candle represents Christ. And we will keep that middle candle there until right before Easter when it represents Christ's death on the cross. And we'll blow the candle out. It'll represent his death. However, when you focus on that white candle, I want you to think about Jesus. He's here. His presence is here with us.
Amen.
We have the light of the world. The weird thing about darkness, though, is that most of us, even though we're uneasy with it, we still kind of like it, don't we? We hate it because we can't see our surroundings, but we like it because while we're in darkness, people can't see our blemishes. When you don't want people to see all of you, you hang around dark places.
Amen.
It can be physical. And you want the lights to be dim so people don't see what you look like. There are all kind of settings that we won't talk about where, you know, it's dark and you don't know what people actually look like. We try to hide things that we are on the inside. And so that's also called, while you might be dwelling in a place like this, if you don't let people know who you really are, the Bible calls that living in darkness.
Amen.
You're not walking in the light.
Amen.
We call that hypocrisy. You show one thing on the outside, but on the inside you're something different. The real you is hidden from plain view, right? The real you is in the darkness. And so while we hate the darkness because we can't see very clearly and because it's scary, we don't know what's going on, we also kind of love the darkness, don't we? Because we don't want to be found out. The Bible says that those who dwell in darkness hate the light because they don't want the light shining on their sin. They don't want the light shining on their evil works. We're afraid to be found out. Does that make sense? Darkness and light, you'll find those words all in the Bible, and they all mean something like that, what we just talked about. There's a reason why we don't like the darkness, and there's a reason why we love the light, and there's a reason why after things have gone way wrong in our own hearts, we kind of like the darkness. We have a love-hate relationship with darkness. That's why confession is called walking in the light. Telling the truth is called walking in the light. Right? And so the people of Israel, we're in Isaiah chapter 9. The people of Israel were walking in darkness. They were supposed to be God's people. Amen. Remember? Amen. They were supposed to trust in God. They were supposed to follow God's plan. They were going to be the kingdom of God. God would live with them. They would multiply as a people. They would be generous with all the blessings that God gave them. They would be blessed so that they might be a blessing in the world. But instead, what did they do? They didn't trust in God. And Isaiah, here's what's happening. They've got the Assyrians, which are the big bad bullies of the world. The Assyrians would come into, have you ever seen like a movie where there's like barbarians and the barbarians will come in and they'll like ransack a village and take all, you know, they'll destroy a village and light it on fire and all. That's kind of like the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were up at the north side of Israel and they were threatening coming down and attacking. And so the king of Israel got scared. Israel was scared. They didn't know what to do. And God was like, just trust me. Just trust me, I'll take care of you. Amen. And they didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. They tried to rely on their government. They tried to rely on their own power. They tried to rely on their own efforts. And they just went downhill from there. But even though it went downhill, the Lord had something to say.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, said, the people who walked in darkness. Now remember what we talked about, walked in darkness. What happens when you're walking in darkness? You don't know where you're going, do you? Let's just imagine it's pitch black dark. It's not walking in darkness with streetlights. That's not what this means. It means walking in complete darkness. Out in the woods, no light around, done. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness. So it's not shallow, it's deep darkness. And they're not only walking in it, they're living in it. Dwelling in it. It's become home.
Amen.
On them a light, on them has light shined. And so the people lived and they walked in darkness and they needed light. Right? I'm going to ask you, do you know what darkness feels like? What does darkness feel like in your life? Sometimes you didn't have anything to do with the darkness, right? Sometimes situations come and they just feel dark. Sometimes times in life happen to you and you just feel dark. You don't know what to do. Right now, there's some things going on in my own heart. It just feels dark. And this passage was, I was clinging to it this morning.
Amen.
It's like, make it real in my life. Because not only did I not know what to do, I didn't want to know what to do. That's even more darkness, isn't it? How many of you know you're walking in darkness and you don't want to walk in the light? You want to live in the darkness. Because you know that walking in the light means something. Here's the thing, you're scared to walk in the light. Scared. but we need light. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? We've got dark things going on. Darkness is happening all around us. These people had oppression happening. These people didn't know what to do. They were relying on their own strength. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have the know-how to beat the Assyrians. They didn't know how to get themselves out of this mess. The government wasn't working right. Do we know what that feels like? Everything's going crazy around us. All you got to do is read the news right now, right? Some dude shot two cops yesterday, execution style, after he shot his girlfriend. Killed her, went to New York, went to the passenger side of a police car, shot both police officers execution style, went down into the subway and turned it on himself.
Amen.
Shot himself. That's darkness.
Amen.
And he bragged about it on social media before it happened. And then after it happened, he took a picture of his clothes and there was blood on his pants. And he posted that on Instagram. It's darkness.
Amen.
And so people are looking to the mayor. They're going, why won't you do anything? Don't even come to the funeral of these police officers because you won't do anything. They're looking to the city officials. We're looking to the government. We're looking to everybody. We're looking, you know, folks are starting to buy guns, starting to try to protect themselves. We're looking to our own selves. We don't know what to do. And it's dark, isn't it? And so Christmas has to have more meaning than just gifts. It has to hit home for us, doesn't it? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. God will make darkness happen in your life. Listen, everybody, God's not to be played with. You don't play with him. He will make your life dark. The Bible calls it, he will hide himself from you.
Amen.
If you refuse to walk in the light, if you refuse to submit to his ways, if you refuse to place your faith in him, it says that he will turn you over. He will remove light from you. He will make your life not work out so that you have to turn to him.
Amen.
And guess what? You are not as strong as he is.
Amen.
You are not strong. And some of you and some of us are in our lives. There are places in our lives where, why do I keep coming up to this wall? Why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep ending up here? Why do I keep ending up here? And it's because God will not let you go any further. And you think you can arm wrestle him down, and you can't. It will not get better. Unless you turn to the light. So that's the bad news. God makes physical conditions dark so that we'll see the darkness in ourselves. And that's what we have to focus on this Christmas. Stop worrying about the presents. And start worrying about the bitterness in your own heart.
Amen.
Start worrying about the darkness that's really deep down inside that you can't seem to get rid of. What darknesses do you have that you can't seem to shake? And if you don't know of any darknesses in your own life that you can't seem to shake, you need to come talk to me. Because you are in danger.
Amen.
You are in such darkness, you can't even see your own darkness.
Amen.
You're a blind man in a dark room. Can't see anything. But there's good news.
Amen.
It's Christmas,
Amen.
Right? There's good news.
Amen.
So let's talk about the good news. The Lord will bring light. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
The Lord will bring light. Look at this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In other words, a light turned on and they noticed it. They have seen, not a small light, a great light. Right? And look at this. Those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined.
Amen.
It's as if they are living in a dark room and somebody came into the room, turned on the flashlight, shone the light on them. In other words, they didn't invite the light. They didn't say, hey, I need some light. They had their back turned and all of a sudden they're looking back, light in the face. This light is different than the light that comes from a police car, right? When you get pulled over and the light is shining from behind, you can't see anything behind you, right? This is a different kind. This is a redemptive light, not a light to tell you and to. This is a redemptive light to shine in your heart. What does it look like? Let's take a look at it. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Let's look down at verse 6, because here is what the light is. For to us a child is born. So this isn't a flashlight. This is a child. It's not a flashlight. It's a son that is given. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave his only son. And here you see, thousands of years before, the prophecy, the foresight that a child would come, a son would be given. And his name would be the light of, he would be the light of the world. And this is what the light looks like. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. When things go wrong, everybody looks to government, don't they? The government's going to be on his shoulder. Isn't that good news? He is not going to misspend. He is not going to make laws that are oppressive. He's going to be able to do everything perfectly as a ruler. Amen. Isn't that great? He's not going to have to run a campaign on the TV. He's not going to have to put signs on, you know, at the corner of every corner. We will automatically be under his rule. He's going to be a child, a son that is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He'll rule with justice and righteousness. Everything he does will be right. You don't have to question his character. Everything he does is right. There is no junk in his background that anyone can dig up. He's not a crook. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be absolutely true. Everything that he says will be truth. And see, when I say that, nobody's like, man, yes, but we all desire that, don't we? I need to know that the words you're telling me are absolutely true. I need to know that you're not hiding from me something. I need to know that you're not going to tell me one thing and then side punch me over here. I need you to tell me the truth about me. I need you to tell me the truth about what's going on around me. I need you to tell me the truth about you. And Jesus tells us the truth, and that's light. Amen. The truth is light. He will be a wonderful counselor. You can trust every word. And if he gives you a promise, you can bank on it. If he gives you a promise, you don't say, man, I hope that's going to happen. No, you say, hope in the Bible is absolutely certain it will happen. Amen. You can be so certain that this son would come, that this child would be born, that a virgin had it. Right? If God will go to that length and bring this promise about, you can hope on every promise that he gives you. He'll be a wonderful counselor. He'll be a mighty God. So, did you get that? Wonderful counselor, mighty God. A child will be God. The son will be both man and God. That's fantastic, isn't it? Mighty God. We all need a mighty God. If you don't think you need a mighty God, then you think you are God. Amen. That means you think you can get yourself out of your trouble. You think you can know it all. You think you can do everything, right? If you don't need a mighty God, then you're in the wrong building. No, I just need a God to help me out a little bit when I'm struggling, right? Most people treat Christ as a paramedic, like we treat him as a paramedic. I only need him when I'm really sick.
Amen.
And once you come get me, take me to the hospital, get me all fixed up, I'll see you later, till the next time I need to go to the hospital. Amen. That's what most people believe Christ is all about, right? Amen. I need you when I'm really bad. I need you when I'm really simple. But when you know Jesus, and when he is shining the light on your heart, you know that your problem isn't ultimately the alcohol problem. It's not the drug problem. It's not the anger. It's the little bitty times in your life that you're hiding, that you're not being yourself, that you're withdrawing and living in the darkness. And when somebody comes up to you, because you can't live in the darkness very long without people finding you out, right? People are awesome that way. They see right through your mask, and then they're like, no, I want this guy to come out. And man, when they tell this guy to come out, man, you blow up. He's a mighty God. We need a God that can get through the mask, drag the real person out into the light. Amen. And that's like finding a wounded pit bull that's back up in his doghouse. And if you stick your hand in the doghouse, he will bite it off. That's how everybody in this room is in certain parts of our lives when we're hiding in the darkness. And there aren't many people that will reach their hand in the doghouse. Amen. Jesus will. Jesus did. Amen. We're getting to that in a minute. He's a mighty God. Satan, no problem. He crushed his head. Sin, your own sin, the sin that you can't seem to shake, no problem. And here's the deal, he's not going to break that sin like you think he will. Do any of y'all ever wonder why he just won't get rid of it? Like that? I mean, let's get real. Everybody pay attention to me. You all know what I'm talking about. You got the issue in your life. And for some reason, he just won't wave a wand and just get rid of it. Why does he do that? Why won't he do that? I was reading in John 11 today, you know, when Lazarus died, his sisters tell him, you know, they send news to Jesus, and they're like, Lazarus is dying. And Jesus says, and the writer, John, says, and Jesus loved Lazarus, Jesus loved Mary, and Jesus loved Martha, so he stayed right where he was for 2 days. Isn't that strange? I love Lazarus too much that while he's dying, I'm going to stay right here. Isn't that crazy? And Lazarus died because he didn't come. Now, you think Mary and Martha were a little upset? No, you're Jesus. You're the mighty God. My brother was dying. I told you he was dying. You loved him. And you stayed right where you were. You didn't come and make him alive again. Amen. You didn't save him from this death. Amen. Isn't that strange? Amen. And so what I want you to know is that he's a mighty God, and he's not going to change you like you think he's going to change you. Amen. Because there are other things that you need to deal with. If you keep running into the same thing and he's not shaking it, it's because you're not dealing with the main thing. And he's not going to let you get past this until you deal with the main issue. I'm not going to tell you everything about John 11. I'll preach on that another time. I'm not going to spoil that sermon. Give him something to read. There you go, Mr. Wiggum. Give him something to read. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. This describes how he relates to us, not as a king, like a tyrant king or a pharaoh, but as a father and an everlasting father. If you are a child of God, he is your everlasting father. That means he'll never die. He'll never go away. He will always be a father to you. Isn't that great? And then he's the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of making things the way they are supposed to be. And so when the light shines on your life, it is shining on your life to make things the way they're supposed to be. How does he make things the way they're supposed to be? He brings peace through the cross. Amen. This light, this King, this mighty God, this wonderful counselor dies for his people. Isn't that good news? If you've got an anger issue, if you've got a bitterness issue, if you've got issues in conflict with others, and that's so dark, it's because there are some issues that you've got to deal with God. And Jesus came to make peace with God. He came. He took your sin. Are you ready for this? There's only one way. There's only one reason that you'll come out of darkness into the light. Let's just imagine you're a murderer. You've been found, and they chased you to the house. And inside the house, what do murderers do when they go and they hide in a house? They draw the shades, right? Make it dark on the inside of the house. Amen. And the police are on the outside of the house. They're like, come out. We know you're in there, right? And that's what preachers do. Come out. We know you're in there. We know you're murdered. That's what all Christians do, right? That's not the gospel. That's not all the gospel. Christians aren't made to go around going, I see, I know you're in there. Come out, I know you're in there. And when they come out, they're like, you know, I see, you put them in. No. Why in the world would a murderer come out of a house and into the light? Why? Give me one reason why he would come out. If he knew that he would not be punished immediately. Right? We've used this example before. What's the difference between a thief before he goes to prison and after he goes to prison? After he's let out. The thief before prison, did you steal anything? I ain't steal nothing. Right? We all do it. We all thieves in here. Did you take something? No, I ain't take anything. But let him walk out of the jail, right? He served his time. Did you steal anything? Man, I did, but I served my time. What's the difference? The truth came out over here. The truth didn't come out over here. Why did the truth come out over here? Because the punishment is gone. That is what Jesus does. He takes the punishment away. If all of us love to hide in the darkness, and the only way that we can step into the light is if we know that we will not be eternally punished by the Father, that's why he died. He died to absorb your punishment. You can be honest. You can walk in the light. Isn't that good news? We could just stop it right there, couldn't we? He's the Prince of Peace. Not only does he conquer our sin and conquer our death, but he conquers his enemies. Amen. He conquers his enemies. Amen. If you are an enemy of Christ, you will be conquered, Amen. Period. Amen. And it's not going to be fun. Because this Joker don't play around. He doesn't play around. All right. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Look, he's a king right now. These folks were looking forward to the king. The son will be born. The son will be given. For us, he's already been given. He already died. He already made peace. You better believe he's a king sitting on his throne. Now, let me ask you a question. How does he advance his kingdom as a king? How does he do it? I'll tell you how he does it. When I moved to Mobile, I had zero friends. I turned down basketball scholarships to Division I colleges. Coach from Oklahoma State called me up and said, I want you to come out here and I want you to at least, we've got some guys running games, come out here and play. Coach in Tennessee, not the University of Tennessee, I wasn't that good, but he was. I turned them all down. Amen. Because I had an unhealthy relationship with a girlfriend, and she was here in Mobile. So I gave all that up, and I moved to Mobile, and we broke up 6 weeks later. Amen. And so I was here. I was living by myself, and I remember sitting in my room in the darkness without any will at all to get out of my room. I went from a academic All-American, making all A's, to making two C's and two D's in one semester, my first semester at South. And I wanted to end it. It was done for me. And I remember the face of the first Christian that actually shared with me about Jesus. And I remember not a word he said, but I remember his face. And I remember the first time I saw him. And I remember when I called him on the phone one time. No, he called me on the phone one time, and I heard voices in the background that just glared with light through the phone, and I wanted it. I had nothing to do with it. He came to me. And all I know is that I was living in darkness. If I told you what was going on, I would be embarrassed to tell you right now. And all I know is he came into my life at like a light and shared with me about Christ. And he didn't do it by, well, let me tell you about Jesus, and let me tell you in 3 minutes, and then after I tell you, I'm out of here. No, he didn't even talk to me about Jesus that first time. But he loved me. I moved in with him and his brother. They're from Pakistan. And they taught me about the Bible night after night after night after night after night. And so here's what our King did. He reigned from heaven. He decided that I needed to live in the light. And he came and he shone a light on me. He shined his light on me. He went, he came, and he changed my heart. And now, it's strange. Do you guys remember any light that happened to you? The light came to you, didn't it? You didn't go to the light, it came to you first. That's the good news. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus starts giving his first sermon, he gives his first sermon to just jacked up people like you and me. And you know what he says? Check this out. Everybody listen to me. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what issues you're still dealing with, even as a Christian. He says, you are the light of the world. Isn't that something? Our King shines his light on other people's darkness through you. Isn't that fantastic? Amen. So here's the challenge this Christmas. Stop thinking about the presents. They'll come. And they'll break. Man, if you give your present to Pumpkin, it's over. He's going to drop it. Right? But what I want you to think about is I want you to be a present to somebody. I want you to think about somebody in your life right now that needs the light. And I want you to be that light. Not a light that stands outside and says, I know you're in there, come out, and you got your gun, right? Ready for the murderer to come out, right? But I want you to be the light to share with them. If you just come out, he's taken your punishment. You're going to get loving arms if you come out of the darkness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord,